Welcome back to the Below Average Joe's MMA Show. On today's episode, it is all things UFC 301 going down in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. The main event will feature the flyweight championship of the world being defended by the champion Alexandre Pantoja. He will be taking on the 10th ranked Steve Urseg and Jose Aldo coming out of retirement in the co-main event to face top 15 ranked bantamweight Jonathan Martinez. And there's a plethora of other Brazilian talent on the card and ranked fighters. We will get into all of the heavy hitters on today's episode. No news, no big fight announcements. So everything revolves around UFC 301. And it starts right now. The main event of the evening, flyweight gold, is on the line. Brock Lesnar, Holly Holm, Quentin Rampage Jackson, Anderson Silva, Joanna Jędrzejczyk, Alex Pereira, Jiří Prochazka. All of these names entered the UFC and in four fights or less became UFC world champion. Now Steve Urseg has the opportunity to join that elite list of names in UFC Hall of Famers if he can beat Alexandre Pantoja this weekend at UFC 301. The number 10 ranked Steve Urseg that hails from Australia will look to improve to 4-0 in the UFC, become a flyweight world champion, all in the span of less than 12 months, less than one full calendar year, something that is very, very rare to do in this game. A lot of people are writing off Steve Urseg. A lot of people hated the fact that this was the next flyweight championship fight. A lot of people felt there were other deserving contenders, but that is not the route that the UFC chose to go with. They instead went with Steve Urseg, who is 3-0 so far in the UFC, two top 15 victories over the names such as David Dvorak in a knockout in March of Matt Schnell. That one punch KO was enough for the UFC to throw Urseg in May 4th in enemy territory to take on Alexandre Pantoja, who is on the best stretch of his MMA career. Pantoja has won five straight fights and will look to defend his flyweight championship for the second successful time, the first being against Brandon Royval last December. Before that, he took the belt from Brandon Moreno. He finished Alex Perez and Brandon Royval and beat Manel Kopp. Those three fights earned him that shot at Moreno. And in the UFC, he is 11-3 overall, dating back to when he debuted in January of 2017. The 35-year-old Pantoja has entered his prime and is in the best stretch of his UFC career, maybe even his MMA career if you want to add in the high-level opponents that he is beating. And really, not a lot of these fights have even been that competitive. It looked like a very convincing victory over Brandon Moreno to win the title, a very convincing victory over Royval in his first title defense. Will he do it a second time here against Steve Urseg? The Office cast member Steve Urseg is 7 years younger than Alexandre Pantoja, coming in at 28 years old. And you know that rule that we always hear about for champions in the UFC, 35 is the number where everything starts to decline. So will that be the case for Alexandre Pantoja? Again, that rule typically applies to, I believe, welterweight, 170 pounds and under. Of course, here we are with the lightest men's weight class in the UFC at flyweight. Could we see a title victory and one title defense be the cap of the career if we're talking championship status for Pantoja? Will the new wave started by Steve Urseg, the 28-year-old, take over at UFC 301 in Brazil, in enemy territory, as I have already previously mentioned? Urseg, quiet assassin, can finish people, has knockout power, a 12-1 record to his name. And when Steve Urseg debuted in June of 2023, last year against David Dvorak, that was a short notice replacement. He had just fought less than 4 months prior in February of 2023 on the regional circuit in Eternal MMA, and all of a sudden is thrown into the wolves of the UFC and beats a top 15 opponent like Dvorak, very convincingly, may I add. And Pantoja always seems to be fighting with a chip on his shoulder. When we go back to when he beat Moreno last July to become world champion, he looked into the camera and he said, "Dad, are you proud of me now?" This is someone that was fatherless for a majority of his life, has grown to the top of his game, has mastered his craft with the team that he surrounds himself with, his family, his loved ones, and his team. You can just tell how much this means to Pantoja, and now he gets the opportunity to defend it on home soil. He has always asked to fight in Brazil. Now that wish has been granted, and it is granted in a main event slot on a pay-per-view card to defend the World Flyweight Championship. It doesn't get much better than that if you are Alexandre Pantoja, and Steve Ersegg has a chance to etch his name in an elite list, as I mentioned in the intro. I love everything about this fight. I don't think you can hate on this fight and for Ersegg getting this opportunity. We've seen worse less deserving, if you will, title shots granted than this here of Steve Ersegg. It's not like he's been on a losing stretch and just happened to win one fight. No, he entered on short notice. He's 3-0. He's beaten ranked opponents. He's finished ranked opponents. What more can you ask of the guy? And he's obviously not saying no to a world title shot. The flyweight division is moving rapidly right now. We just saw Alex Perez get his first win in nearly 4 years with a brutal knockout of Matheus Nicolau. That put Perez back at the number 5 spot and into title contention in the flyweight division. We have the aforementioned Muhammad Mukhaev, who is still undefeated in his career, undefeated in the UFC, beat Alex Perez, who just won last weekend. So we have moving pieces in the flyweight division. This is a great stretch to kick off the summer months for the 125ers. Can Pantoja remain and still, or Ersegg welcome in the new wave of talent? Pantoja is about as well-rounded as you will find a fighter in the flyweight division, with 8 knockouts, 10 submissions, and 9 decisions. He can do it over the course of 25 minutes, as we've seen him do in 2 title fights. He can do it quickly and finish top-ranked opponents, as we've seen him do over this win streak. He is a jack of all trades. He has a very, very solid fight IQ. He is a well-rounded beast in the cage. And Steve Ersegg has shown electric skills on the feet with power in all of his shots. He's a very methodical striker. If he gets taken down in this fight, which we have not seen him had to face so far in the UFC, things could get interesting, especially with someone as elite as Pantoja when it comes to the grappling world. If it stays on the feet, will Ersegg's length and power be too much to handle? Because Pantoja has never been finished in his career. 5 losses, all by decision. Never been subbed, never been knocked out. And Astro Boy is used to knocking people out. It's going to be an interesting affair in the cage for the flyweight division, and you cannot hate on that. And now that we are done talking about the flyweight championship main event at UFC 301, we will get into the rest of the card. And it starts in the co-main event, the bantamweight division. We move up 10 pounds from the main event. Top 15 ranked bantamweight, Jonathan Martinez, welcomes back Jose Aldo after a couple year hiatus in retirement. The King of Rio, the legend, the UFC Hall of Famer, UFC featherweight champion, multi-time title defender, Jose Aldo is back to perform in front of his home country in Brazil, and he is taking on the 12th ranked bantamweight, Jonathan Martinez. You talk about a fight that came out of left field, it is this one right here, but my goodness, this is going to be a treat. We last saw Jose Aldo fight in August of 2022 in the UFC when he lost a decision to Merab Dewalishvili. But let us not forget, prior to that loss, he had won 3 straight fights in the bantamweight division over Marlon Chito Vera, who just fought for the bantamweight championship of the world, Pedro Munhoz, and Rob Font. However, in that time off that Jose Aldo retired from the UFC, Jonathan Martinez has racked up the biggest wins of his career with a finish of Cub Swanson, a decision win over Saeed Nurmagomedov, and a finish over Adrian Yanez. And prior to that stretch, he has 3 other wins to his name. The win streak is 6 total, but those three big victories coming in the time that Jose Aldo has been away from the sport leads me to believe that Jonathan Martinez is ready to prove he belongs and that he should not be just a forgotten name in the back half of the bantamweight division, one of the most stacked, if not the most stacked division in all of mixed martial arts right now. We have two of the most brutal leg kickers in UFC history going at it. Those two TKOs that I mentioned in this three-fight stretch for Jonathan Martinez were both due to leg kick finishes, and Jose Aldo is no stranger to throwing nasty leg kicks in his own right. I look for this to be a back-and-forth scrap for 15 minutes or less between Jonathan Martinez and Jose Aldo, where they will go toe-to-toe, tit-for-tat, striking with each other on the feet. And I think that means, as fight fans, we are in for a treat. I think this is going to be a very fun fight. If Jose Aldo wins, he proves that at what now, 37 years old, he can still hang with the big boys. And Jonathan Martinez, just now entering his prime, 7 years younger at 30 years old, 19-4 overall in his career, who will look to extend his win streak to 7, hold his spot in the top 15, get a victory over a legend and former champion in Jose Aldo. Jonathan Martinez looks to prove he belongs with the elite of the elite in the bantamweight division. This is a showcase of talent at 135 pounds. Next, we move to the light heavyweight division, where former title challenger and top 15 ranked Anthony Lionheart Smith will look to hold his spot, much like his former opponent Ryan Spann tried to do last weekend against Bogdan Guskov. That did not go to plan for Spann, as Guskov finished him and became a top 15 ranked fighter in his own right. Smith will look to right the ship, end his losing streak, and do what Ryan Spann could not do against a up-and-coming prospect by beating Vitor Petrino, undefeated Brazilian, 11-0. The 35-year-old, 56 professional fight veteran Anthony Smith has lost 3 of his last 4 fights, 2 of those by TKO stoppage, most recently against Khalil Rountree in December. Whereas Vitor Petrino, prior to last week, actually had reached top 15. But then when Guskov beat Spann, it sent Spann back to number 15. It put Guskov in the number 12 spot, and Petrino is probably number 16 now. So he will look to re-enter the top 15 at light heavyweight and get the biggest win of his career. He won on the Contender Series in September of 2022 and is 4-0 in the UFC thus far. The biggest win over Tyson Pedro, that happened just a month and a half ago, or I guess it's almost 2 months now, against Tyson Pedro on March 2nd of 2024. He's finished 8 of his 11 victories, and Anthony Smith, I mean, this guy, what did I say, 56 total professional fights. He's seen the scorecards 7 times total. That is it. Violence is guaranteed, and the betting line on this is massive on the side of Vitor Petrino. So the odds makers are thinking he will remain perfect, improve to 12-0, and at only 26, get the biggest win of his career and enter close to the top 10 in the light heavyweight division. We go down one weight class to middleweight, where Michel Pereira will be taking on Ihor Poteria. That is a short notice replacement. I cannot recall who Michelle's original opponent was. If you know, please be sure to let me know in the comments. But let me get this off my chest here. Michel Pereira has won 7 fights in a row and is somehow still not ranked in the top 15 of middleweight. This division is not the deepest weight class in the UFC. How is he not a top 15 ranked fighter? This is, am I missing something? I'm looking at the rankings right here. Michel Pereira, yeah, he's not ranked, yet he's won 7 straight fights. He just submitted Mikhail Oleksychuk last month. Before that, he knocked out Andre Petroski. Look at all the wins. Andre Fialho, Santiago Ponzinibbio, Nico Price, Chaos Williams. What? How is this man not ranked? He has proved that he is updated his skill set. He has massively upgraded his fight IQ. He is no longer doing cartwheels and somersaults in the cage. Instead, he is just putting on clinics and easily beating many of these opponents during this 7-fight win streak. And really, it should be 8 because he lost to Diego Sanchez, but that was because of a disqualification. If you want to take that away, he has not lost a fight since September of 2019. Michel Pereira is 30 years old, entering his prime, somehow still has 43 professional fights. This man is a madman. And Ihor Poteria is 2-3 so far in his 5-fight UFC career. He did earn a contract on the 2021 season of Dana White Contender Series, and he's coming off of a victory. He beat Robert Brzcek in February on the the Hermanson versus Pfeiffer fight night card. But before that, had lost 2 in a row to Rodolfo Bellotto and Carlos Alberg, both of those via knockout. Michel Pereira, rightfully so, being that this is a short-notice opponent and someone who hasn't had as much success in the UFC, is a massive, massive favorite. Pereira just ran through Oleksicek less than 2 months ago at UFC 299. I think he's coming for blood and another big finish in his home country of Brazil to make it 8 straight wins and finally earn a top 15 spot that, to be honest, he's already earned through and through. We stay in the middleweight division as the pay-per-view main card gets opened up by 2 top 15 185-pounders. Former top-ranked light heavyweight Paul Craig will be taking on Caio Bahio.
Scottish kilt. What is under? Yes, please.
You want to see?
It's my.
Your kibbles and bits?
It's my cock.
The Bear Jew Paul Craig is pretty much must-watch TV anytime he has a fight scheduled. I mean, he's got 25 pro fights and only gone the distance 2 times. He's 1-1 in the middleweight division. He debuted last July and finished Andre Muniz. Then he fought Brendan Allen in November in a main event and got submitted in the 3rd round. He's lost 3 of his last 4 fights, but of course those other 2 losses were still in the 205-pound light heavyweight weight class. Viewing Paul Craig physically, he fills out pretty well for middleweight, but he is 36 years old, where his counterpart this weekend is 31. Caio Bahio is 15-1, a Dana White Contender Series elite fighter that has done nothing but looked fantastic, quite frankly, since earning that contract. Was that in? Oh yeah, that was the 2021 season, because he won 2 fights in the same season before they gave him the contract. And since then, he is 5-0 in the UFC. So Caio is an elite level grappler. Paul Craig is an elite level grappler. What's got to give? Sometimes when we see 2 great jiu-jitsu practitioners and grapplers, they cancel each other out and they strike with each other on the feet. But if I had to guess, and especially after Paul Craig is coming off of a submission loss to Brendan Allen, Caio Bahio is going to hold the upper hand here. And because of that, another massive favorite on this UFC 301 card on the side of the Brazilian talent, Caio Bahio. And let me just finish this discussion by talking about a fight that is absolutely getting forgotten about and slept on in the featherweight division. Jack Shore, the pride of Wales, 17-1, is taking on Joe Anderson Brito, who is 16-3. This fight's gonna be a banger. Jack Shore debuted after being a Cage Warrior superstar and entered the UFC in 2019. He has a master record of 6 wins to 1 loss. The only loss back in the bantamweight division against Ricky Simone, where he got submitted in July of 2022. He entered the featherweight division last spring. I feel like, yeah, it's been over a year since we've seen Jack Shore in March and submitted Makwan Ermicani. And Joe Anderson Brito, can we remember that he beat Diego Lopez on Dana White's Contender Series in 2021? Yes, it was a technical decision, but you talk about a win, that is aged like a fine wine. It is that one right there. Brito faltered in his UFC debut by losing a decision to Bill Algeo, but since then has won 4 straight fights, 4 straight finishes, the biggest win against Jonathan Pierce last November. Pierce coming off of a fight of the night that didn't get fight of the night versus David Onama last weekend. This is a banger. 29-year-old Brito, 14 finishes. Jack Shore, 29 years old, 13 finishes. This is going to be an amazing fight. I don't feel like people are talking about this fight Why are we not talking about this fight? This is the fight of the night for the prelims, the people's main event for the prelims. Ha! It may even be the people's main event of the entire UFC 301 card. And you know what? I want to talk about one more fight real quick before we head on out of here. The rest of the card is good too. There are just a lot of Brazilian young up-and-coming talents on this card, including Ismael Bonfim in the first or second fight of the night. But this fight right here, the number 13 ranked strawweight, Karolina Kowalkiewicz, former title challenger. Let us not forget how great her title fight was with Joanna Jędrzejczyk back at UFC 205 in November of 2016. She's on a 4-fight win streak at 38 years old, and she's looking to hold her spot against a very dangerous Yasmin Lucindo. Lucindo has only lost one fight since 2019, and that was her UFC debut in a fight of the night against Yasmin Uruguay. Since then, she's rallied off victories over Brogan Walker, Ultimate Fighter alum, and a submission over Poliana Viana. But Karolina Kowalkiewicz, 4 straight wins, Felice Herrig, Silvana Gomez-Juarez, Vanessa Demopoulos, and Diana Belbita last October. She's proved that she can still get the job done at 38 years old. And this is someone that between September of 2018 and August of 2021 lost 5 straight fights. And on the brink of getting cut, maybe even retiring, she has rallied off 4 straight wins since June of 2022. I think that's an amazing story. One of the quiet sweethearts of the sport, if you will, always does the wink and the smirk when they are announcing her. Former title challenger, 16 wins, 7 losses. I think this is actually a pretty good challenge for Lucindo to prove that she does belong in the rankings. Because again, only 2-1 in the UFC, only 22 years old. But my goodness, a 16-year age gap may just be the difference come Saturday night. So that's it for today's episode. That is it for UFC 301. Be sure to give me all of your thoughts in the comment box on Spotify if you're listening on there. Or if you don't have that option on whatever audio platform you're listening to, come on over to social media and let me know there. Or leave a comment on the YouTube channel and subscribe to the channel while you're there as well. Any and all support is greatly appreciated. I appreciate all of you guys that listen every single week. I hope you have a great weekend. Enjoy the fights. Enjoy the Kentucky Derby if you're one to bet on horse races. I'm not, but I did win money last year, so I guess I'm going to have to try and do it again. It's going to be a fun weekend on Saturday, and I will see you on Monday for the recap.